You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
Hello there, Devin.
Oh, hello.
And, well, wow. Bump the mic as we're getting started. We're off to a good start here, Alan. It's good. Yeah, I mean, special Sunday edition of the Jedi and Germ show because, you know, well, let's see. I spent all of the week in sunny Southern California, and then we've got the 4th coming up on Tuesday. So, and you know what? I'm going to enjoy my Boston cream pie. Was that what it was, Devin? I'm just going to have a Boston cream pie right now as we start the show. Is that okay?
You going to listen to some Will Smith while you're at it?
Yeah, might as well. Miami. Boston cream pie in Miami because it's all going down in San Diego. Tell me how those add up. Let's I know you've got a list of Jazz stuff, but do we want to start with Hayward or do we want to build our way up to Hayward?
Well, let's just talk about Hayward first because it won't take us that long. There's a decision has not been made as we record this. So he says he probably won't make his decision until Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. So July 4th or 5th. You know, all the reports coming out of all the meetings are like, oh, it went great, which is what 99% of the meetings do.
Right.
The only one I saw this offseason so far with anything was Rudy Gay's meeting with OKC, where it sounded like he was just moving on. So, you know, that's the closest thing I've heard. Everything else was like, oh, it went great. He was blown away by our presentation, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, Miami thinks they're going to get him. Boston thinks they're going to get him. Utah thinks they're going to keep him. We don't really know. I'm inclined to think he's still going to stay here, even though the West is just ridiculously stacked now.
He's staying.
I still think he's going to stay.
He's staying. I've stood by that, and I'm still standing by it. In fact, it's my new pinned tweet on the Jedi Zog account. It is my pinned tweet from the other day. I decided to pin it and keep it there. He's staying. I said it. I'm standing by it. Not going anywhere. So everybody can just calm down and let it happen. And, you know, it's interesting today. I don't know who said this, but I think it was Jody. I've been keeping tabs on Jody and Tony and a lot of the beat writers and Woj. But I think who was it that made their decision known via Players Tribune earlier today? It was
Kyle Lowry.
Jody suggested that we will probably see the same type of thing from Hayward, although he suggested through Hayward's blog. And I am inclined to agree with that. I could see Hayward choosing to let everybody know. I mean, we're going to see Woj say something. We're going to see the beat writer say something. But the official word from Hayward himself might very well be a blog post on his website. Fair?
Well, yeah. Kyle Lowry's was titled Home. And then someone like instantly tagged Gordon Hayward on it. I think that's how he's going to make his announcement is on his, his website.
I disagree.
Really?
I think that will be his plan. But I think someone will scoop him. And I think that person is his wife, and I think we will find out via her Instagram.
Oh, you think she's going to, like, take his thunder away? Whoa,
wait,
dude.
Wait, are the thunder an option here?
Hey, Devin, whoa,
John,
it's okay.
John, breaking news.
No.
Devin pulling a Twitter reaction here to what I said about thunder, and John just... That's about how I feel about all of it.
Can you imagine? You'd have Russ, George, Hayward, Adams.
Yeah, no.
Well, I'm not sure. No. Oh, my gosh. I'm not sure how much room they have. I'm trying to figure this out.
I don't know that they have a lot of room either.
They're well over 99.
Well, yeah, and they're tied up in guys like Enes Kanter and Westbrook.
We'll do a sign and trade. We'll take Kanter back.
Yeah, they're tied. No,
he can come see the mountains again.
No, wait, what? Is that going to be the big splash? Hayward does not return, so we're bringing back Kanter. You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, yeah, Hayward, we're not going to know. By the time you're all listening to this, If you're listening on the day it's released, we still don't know. You know, by the middle of the week, I think we're all going to have a pretty good idea. So, and again, I stand by it. He's staying. All right, let's move on quickly. Jazz news, big trade of the week. You know, Ricky Rubio traded to the Jazz in exchange for, wasn't it the OKC pick?
Yep.
Which
is looking like a better and better trade since OKC has Paul George. They're going to be right there. So that pick's probably going to turn into something like 22 or 23.
Right.
Which is very worthwhile trade to do. So, you know, I feel bad for George Hill. I'm hearing that he turned down $20 million a year midseason, and now it looks like he's not going to get anywhere near that because everyone else is filling up their point guard needs. I would have really liked to have kept Hill. If we hadn't done the Rubio trade, I think we would be getting Hill and maybe even at $20 million, if not a little less. But this way we have a younger guard, a healthier guard, not as good a shooter, but probably a little better facilitator of offense. And, you know, my only thing with Rubio is George Hill had playoff experience and Rubio doesn't. So, you know, I'm a little concerned about that, but at least we answered the question of whether or not we're going to have a point guard before we signed him. I think it was really crucial to re-sign Joe Ingles so he can be there in the meeting Monday. It sounds like he will be in the meeting there Monday, as well as Rudy and, you know, Quinn, I assume, Steve Starks, a couple other people. It's at Gordon Hayward's home, which is, I think, an advantage for the Jazz. Gordon went to Boston, went to Miami, but for the Jazz, he's inviting them into his home. So, you know, that's nice to think about.
And for everybody freaking out, the fact that it is in San Diego, we'll remind everybody that Joe Ingles signed in LA. So let's not worry about where it's at. I, like you said, I think it's advantage Jazz because it's invited into his home. I also think it's right for the Jazz to do it this way too. I mean, where else are they going to meet? There's not a lot of options in Salt Lake to meet right now. Offices are really under construction. So this is probably the best way to do it anyway. Right?
Yeah. San Diego.
San Diego. I was just there on Tuesday. Sunny, beautiful San Diego. Spent some time in La Jolla. It's a really nice area. So anyway, also a couple other notes since we last talked. You know, we brought up Rubio, the trade there. Jazz also traded on draft night, traded up and picked or traded Trey Lyles and picks, went up and got Donovan Mitchell. And John, you're high on Donovan Mitchell. I think quite a few guys are high on him. The more and more I'm reading, the more and more people really think that he's a lot better than maybe the 13th pick would suggest. And then they picked up Bradley in the second round. Good trade, good pickups.
Yeah. Bradley, I think it's really hard to tell with him. You know, his highlights look cool, but there's a reason he was clear down at number 28. I think he'll be a decent backup center. I think he'll be a slight improvement over Jeff Withey, which is really how much more can you ask out of the 28th pick? Just be better than Jeff Withey and you'll be fine. And he could be better than that. I mean, the Jazz gave up 42 to go two spots just to make sure the Spurs didn't grab him at 29. Trey Lyles in number 24 into Donovan Mitchell, I think, is great. Donovan is exactly the type of scrappy guard that they want, a defensive-minded perimeter guy. It was interesting to watch his playmaking. His steal rate's going to be high. His wingspan is a half inch longer than Dante Exum's. So when you see 6'3", you might think, but with a 6'10 wingspan, I mean, he might as well be, you know, 6'6". If I told you he's a 6'6 guard with 6'10 wingspan, that would sound awesome. But yeah, he has weirdly long arms. I think his shooting is going to be the concern. I think he shot 36% from three. So I'm hoping that
it's about average.
Yeah. He's not a lights out guy like a Klay Thompson or anything, but he's going to be a decent shooter. but just really a special personality. I mean, you see the clips of him in interviews. His Twitter game is already on fire. I can't wait to watch him in Summer League. I think he's going to be really good. I think he is going to be better than the 13th best player like he was on draft night. I bet you that. I mean, he seems like the kind of guy that is going to make the rookie team first or second. Maybe second, but I still think he'll make it.
And my concerns with him are the same with Rubio's, and that is the ability to knock down shots on a consistent basis. But, again, they're coming to a situation with a coaching staff that can work on that. I mean, heaven forbid we forget that Joe Ingles was just there not long ago, not a guy that could shoot all that well. And here he was the second, what was it, the number two or number three guy in the NBA in three-point shooting last year. So this coaching staff is something of a special wonder. I think they can work with both of these guys. And I think we're going to get some good numbers out of both of them. So, and my bad for calling Bradley a second rounder. You're right. 28th or yeah. What'd you say? 29th pick. Yeah. I was wrong there, but again, I'm okay with everything they did on draft night. I don't know much about the draft or don't care usually, but I'm feeding off the positive frenzy from everybody on this, and I'm with you. I'm on board.
Yeah, and I'll say this about Rubio. He's had a lot of coaches in his short, what is he, a six-year vet?
Right.
He started with Rick Adelman, then it went to Flip Saunders, then it went to Sam Mitchell. Then it went to Tom Thibodeau, and so now he's on Quinn Snyder. So as he starts his seventh year, he's on his fifth coach, and hopefully this will be, if he like stays with the Jazz for his 2 years and signs on longer, then it'll be the longest he's been with any coach.
Interestingly enough, too, hasn't his shooting improved in his career? Because I remember when he first came into the league, that was one of the biggest knocks. He just wasn't a good shooter at all, and I think he's bumped up to average, if not decent, at this point in time. No?
No. Well, let's put it this way. Last year was the first time he averaged at least 40% in field goal percentage.
Oh, wow.
But his three-point shot, he doesn't take threes that often. He's a 30% shooter from three. He had a couple seasons where he was even in the 20s with 3 points.
Gotcha.
So, no, he's not a good shooter, but he's a good free throw shooter, which is just insane. So okay. I'm hoping that the Jazz staff can take a look at him and go, okay, you've been in the league 6 years. Your field goal percentage isn't great, but maybe we can work with that and try to figure something out. If he could just improve a couple percentage points, you know, the thing with him is he just doesn't shoot that much. He averaged eight shots a game last year, which is fine if you're a secondary guy, but Rubio has always been, I would say, the second or third most important guy on that team. So now he's going to come here and hopefully he has Hayward. And then he has all these shooters around him. He's going to have Hood. He's going to have Ingles. He's going to have a lot of bobbing abilities to Favors and Gobert and whatnot. You know, and just to offer a comparison, George Hill shot over 12 times a game when he played. So Rubio's usage is going to be a lot less than that. And, you know, he'll be less than George Hill, but more than any of our other point guards. But there is going to be a lot of versatility with him because he's a good defender, because he's such a good passer. I'm hoping with the addition of Rubio that we're actually going to pick up the pace. It seemed like before we didn't do the pace because we really needed to get into our set offense and get guys open late, and that worked great. But with a facilitator like Rubio, I hope they come up with more transition plays and, you know, more fast break stuff so that they can speed it up a little more, because I think Rubio is the type of player that you do not want to get stuck in a half court game. You want to take advantage of his speed and court vision.
What's more is if his usage rate goes down in comparison to George Hill, for example, you would expect that maybe the usage rate of one Gordon Hayward might go up, which might be advantage Gordon as well.
Yeah.
So, all right. Is that, I think that's enough on Jazz notes. Am I missing anything?
Did we cover thoughts on the Lyles trade? How are you guys feeling about that?
Well, Here's my thing with Lyles. He and Trey Burke had similar Jazz paths, I thought, in that he had a very promising rookie year, and then we saw regression in his second year. And I got to the point where I was just tired of Trey Lyles coming into a game, missing a three, and then going back to the bench. It felt like there are way too many games where that happened. And since they actually traded him, you know, I think Locksaw said something about how it just looked like he checked out during the season. And I think they were concerned about that. And rather than giving him a shot on his third year, they're just like, well, we got other people interested who are high on him. If we do this, then we can flip it to a better player. I was one of those where I wanted Devin Booker. We got Trey Lyles. I was really happy with Trey Lyles' rookie year by the end of the season. The second season, not so much. And it was one of those where it's like the Jazz really, really need Lyles to turn it around in this offseason. Instead, they move him, they free up his money, and they get this player that they were just blown away by in workouts. And so I'm happy. At least if we're losing him, we flipped him for another lottery talent.
Yeah, and maybe he resurrects in Denver. I actually don't think that's a bad... I mean, got a couple of friends in Denver who have tweeted and shared their very unhappiness with the Denver front office and their inability to make moves, and what's more, to make another trade with the Jazz that turns out favorable for the Jazz and not so much for them. I hope that Lyles works out for them. I really do, because I like Lyles, and I really think that he still has a career ahead of him. I just hope it works out in a new environment, better situation. So we'll see. Not that the Jazz situation wasn't good for him, because I thought it was, but you know, maybe a new new location is a new chance. Also on the George Hill note, I know you touched on him. Where does he end up? Where do you think he ends up? I mean, he really shot himself in the foot, and that's what I feel bad about. This whole agent process with him, it really shot himself in the foot, because he had a chance with the Jazz, shot himself there, kind of really ruined his chances there, and now we're seeing everybody else around the league that were possible destinations are either re-signing guys or have gone out and picked up somebody else. George Hill's got nowhere now.
Maybe the Bulls, I don't know. They don't have very good point guards, but they're all young. Maybe they're probably in a rebuild mode and they just want to go with that.
Didn't the Bulls just sign someone or have a commitment from someone today?
I'm trying to think. Did the Bulls sign anybody? I mean, they got Cam Payne.
Did they let Rondo walk? Dunn.
Yeah, they let Rondo walk. So they have Chris Dunn and Cam Payne, and I think they're just going to try to develop and rebuild.
They might look at Zach LaVine as a point guard. I don't know. Is he a point guard? Is he a two guard? Where do you see him fitting in, I guess?
LaVine's played both in Minnesota, though. He's played both,
but he's never been good at point guard. He can play it. He's just not good at it. Maybe the Knicks. I hear that's a possibility. I'm looking at all these teams, and I'm just not seeing it. We'll just go through alphabetical order. Atlanta has Schroeder. Boston has IT. Brooklyn just got D'Angelo Russell. Charlotte has Kemba. Chicago has their young guys they're probably going to develop. Cleveland has Kyrie. Dallas, who does Dallas have? Yogi and... Didn't they get somebody?
I don't remember. Yogi's the only person I can think of there.
I'm forgetting somebody.
Who'd they pick
there,
up in the trade with Cleveland? They didn't pick up a point guard from Cleveland
Who are we talking about?
Dallas.
Dallas. Who's Dallas's point guard?
It's Curry. Isn't Seth Curry one of their guys?
Oh, yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
And they had JJ.
Barea? I thought Barea's gone.
Is Barea gone? Wasn't he there last year? I thought he was there.
Barea's really more of an off-ball guy anyway.
Yeah, he is.
Devin Harris still.
Yeah, that's right. Devin's still there. So, yeah, I mean, Dallas doesn't have much, but I don't know that he'd... I mean, that could be another destination point for him, just like it has been for a lot of Jazz guys that their careers... Sad. Oh, my gosh. Devin Harris, Darren Williams. Now the next guy, the victim of it, could be George Hill. Oh, boy.
Yeah, Denver has Murray. Detroit has Jackson. Golden State, Houston, Indiana. Who did Indiana? Indiana just signed somebody.
They didn't sign Teague, did they? No, Teague's gone.
Teague's gone.
No,
Teague's gone.
No.
That's right.
Teague went to Minnesota.
That's right.
Did they get a trade? Who did they trade with? They got Victor Oladipo.
Yes. You know, I don't think they have an option there. I've seen some Indiana fans on Twitter talking about the potential of George Hill coming back, although some of them didn't seem too happy about that idea. So Indiana's a possible destination.
Yeah, I think a lot of them were unhappy on how much better a player he was here than he was at their place the year before.
Right.
It was Corey Joseph.
That's right.
Corey Joseph. I knew it was somebody.
Just happened today, yeah.
Yeah, so Clippers, they have Beverly and Lou Williams. Lakers have Lonzo. Memphis has Conley. Miami has Dragic. Milwaukee has somebody. I can't remember right now. Who's Milwaukee's starter?
Well, I mean, the Greek freak's really the guy there, but point guard wise, I can't think of who it is.
I don't know.
That's all right.
Brockton?
Is it? No.
Maybe Milwaukee. I don't know how much room they have. Minnesota, they got Teague.
Memphis
Pelicans
got Conley.
Are keeping Holiday.
You skip Memphis. They got Conley still.
Yeah. Philly has Fultz now. Phoenix is fine. Sacramento's fine. Spurs are fine.
Well, yeah, and interestingly enough, the Spurs were in the conversation with him, and those conversations went dry, I guess, didn't they?
Yeah, it looks like Milwaukee. If I'm forgetting who their guy is, I'm looking at who their roster is right now, and I'm not seeing a starting point guard there, unless they're starting Delly.
I know where he's going. I said this a couple weeks ago. He's going to Sacramento.
Sacramento just got De'Aaron Fox, though.
Yeah, I know. All right, never mind. Oh, well. George Hill, we love you, man. Well, I mean, he could end up back in the Jazz uniform, but per many beat guys I'm seeing, that's not likely to happen. And if it were to happen, he'd have to sign for the MLE, plain and simple.
It's not happening.
No, it's not happening.
No.
But he wouldn't be able to get his money. He'd have to sign for the MLE. And even then, I just feel bad for the guy.
Know. As I look at it, I'm thinking Milwaukee, New York, or Orlando.
Yeah.
That's all I can really see where
maybe
he would make sense.
Maybe he signs a one-year deal with somebody, and then next year goes out there for a different deal.
Probably.
That's a possibility.
He could still do a one-year with Brooklyn or somebody.
Right.
Maybe.
Sure, all
right. Why not?
Well, let's shift gears to the rest of the NBA. It has been a busy week for the NBA as a whole. Where do we even begin? I mean, trades. Let's start with the trades, the big trades of the week.
Chris Paul to the Rockets. I think it works out good for both teams. Clippers are obviously, they lost their best player, but they got a lot of depth back. So I actually like it. I do think the Clippers needed to make a change. They chose Blake Griffin over Chris Paul. Blake Griffin is re-signed. He's the younger player. And now instead of Chris Paul, he will have Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams. And now they at least have a bench, even if overall I think their record's going to be a little worse next year. I see them as being more like a 7th-8th seed type team. But, you know, they got some pieces. They got Harrell. They got Sam Decker. They got a lot of guys that they're probably just going to cut, but they were in there for salary purposes. And as for the Rockets look like they are filling out. I was worried that they gave away all their depth, but they'll still have Eric Gordon coming off the bench. They made a deal to keep Nene. That's probably going to be a team where some quality free agents are going to be willing to take less money to go play with that much talent. Wouldn't surprise me. So that's big for the Rockets. Rockets were third seed last year, and they're going to be tough again this year. And all these people are going to the West. Like the next one, you got to look at the draft night trade and the free agency signing. So Jimmy Butler gets traded to the Timberwolves in a very lopsided trade, I thought.
Yeah, it was.
Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and the pick that turned into Lauri Harkonnen or whatever his name was. So Timberwolves, you know, Tibbs is getting the band back together. They signed Taj Gibson.
Yep.
So you have him, you have Jeff Teague, you have Jimmy Butler, you have Andrew Wiggins, you have Karl Anthony Towns. That is a loaded team. And, you know, I thought they'd make a jump last year. With this team, I say, no, really, this time they're going to make a jump. I think the T-Wolves are going to be right there fighting for 7th and 8th.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
No. You're going higher, aren't you?
I'm going higher, John.
Are you saying 4-5?
I don't know. I think they'll be right in that mix for 5 or 6.
Okay.
I
was going to go 6 or 7, but okay. Okay.
Somewhere between 5 and 7, I would guess. I mean, you have to look at this. They have, what is it? Jang? Is that how you say it? I don't know how you say his name in that trade.
Oh.
And then they've got Shabazz. They've got decent role players as well.
Yeah, they do.
That's going to be a good squad. It may take them some time to put it all together. That's my expectation. But if they can, they will not be a team to overlook.
By the way, while we're talking, breaking news from Shams Charania of The Vertical about 10 minutes ago. Paul Millsap signs a 3-year, $90 million deal with the Denver Nuggets. So Paul's back in the Northwest Division playing alongside an up-and-coming center in Jokic. That's going to be an interesting combo right there down low. So Denver adds Paul Millsap.
And that also means Gallinari is going somewhere else.
Yep.
Huh.
And it means Trey Lyles is back to the bench.
And yeah, we have another All-Star moving from east to west.
Yep.
Moving into the Northwest Conference.
Into the Northwest. Yeah, the Northwest Division of all. You've got Paul George, Jimmy Butler, and Paul Millsap all in the Northwest Division. I mean, we hadn't even got to Paul George yet. I mean, you talked about the draft night trade. Let's just jump right into Paul George. I mean, oh my word.
Oh, yeah.
OKC makes a trade and picks up Paul George.
And they didn't have to give away any picks.
No,
that's
they
what
didn't.
Blows my mind.
They
traded half of what they got for Serge Ibaka for Paul George.
And they saved some money, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's true. And it was like $3 million less somewhere in there.
Like, can we have some
so,
money?
So, man, that was fantastic.
Yeah, what are the Pacers thinking? To me, that is one of the worst trades that I've seen. Yeah, they got two guys who are decent. You know, is it Sabonis that they got and Oladipo?
Yeah.
I don't know about Sabonis, so I don't know what type of player he is. He's in his going into his
second year. He was a rookie last year.
We'll see. I mean, he seems like he could be a good talent from what I had seen. But
Oladipo, who was very high, everybody was high on him his rookie year in that draft, and he's had a huge drop off. This is his third team in what, as many years? 3-4 years?
I wouldn't call it a drop off. He never really got off the ground.
Yeah, that's probably true too.
You know, he seemed to be putting it together in OKC a little bit more than he was in Orlando, but you can do better than that.
Yeah.
See, I remember thinking when the Thunder made the trade, when they sent Serge away and got back Oladipo and that pick, and I don't remember what the other piece was in that trade, but I remember thinking that was actually a mutually beneficial trade. I liked it for both teams. And of course, Serge just did not work out in Orlando, and that was sad. But Oladipo was a great pickup. And when you look at all these all-stars getting traded, Oladipo might be the best player of in any of these trades who's going the other way. You know?
Yeah.
I would say he's better than Beverly. I would say he's better than Lou Williams, better than Zach LaVine.
You think Oladipo's better than Beverly?
Yeah.
I mean, Beverly, I think, is the better defender, don't you?
Yeah, but overall player, I think I'd still want Oladipo.
Okay, fair.
And I love Beverly, don't get me wrong. I just think between the two, I think I'd pick Oladipo. What were we talking about? Okay, so Paul George is on the Thunder, and they didn't have to give up that much for him. So now you have Russell Westbrook and Paul George with that supporting cast they have, Steven Adams,
Roberson.
Roberson. I think they did make the, I'm pretty sure they re-signed him.
I think they did too. And that's, Roberson's another guy in that supporting cast that I think he's underrated. He's a great defender.
Yeah.
I think he has improvements to make on the offensive end, but that's one guy to watch that I think is vastly underrated, if you will. So, any more thoughts on that trade? I can't think of anything else.
Well, the thing is, the Oklahoma City better hope that they have success, because if they, you know, if they finish, what did they finish last year?
They were sixth.
Sixth. Yeah. If they finish sixth in the West again, then we might just see Westbrook and George leave for LA.
Ooh.
That's what they say. And Ooh. that would just destroy that organization. So, but, you know, should be a good year.
Here's the crazy thing on all of this. You talked, Devin, about what Indiana was thinking. And this is something to think about with Hayward a little bit. Boston losing out on the chance for Paul George. What does that say about Boston right now? And does that bode well? I mean, could you imagine if they lose Paul George and Hayward in the opportunity in this offseason, they lose them both? Fans are going to start cinching up they're going to start pulling out the pitchforks, aren't they? Cinching up the noose and everything like that, getting ready for Danny Ainge, maybe.
Yeah, they're very frustrated with him. They're frustrated that he didn't make the Jimmy Butler trade.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're Jimmy Butler's the other guy. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because I mean, the pieces they got for Jimmy Butler, I mean, Boston, they had the number one pick, and they turned that into the number three and future picks. And then he could not turn any of those into an all-star because he just didn't want to give him up. And the thing with Indiana is I think they just wanted to send Paul George west. They did not want to send him to Boston. Danny Ainge, I guess a lot of GMs don't really like dealing with Danny Ainge. Yeah, and he's a tough negotiator, and he just winds up not wanting to give up pieces. And you know, the story that's come out now is that Terry Rozier was the hangup. Danny Ainge did not want to have Rozier be part of the deal. Well, when you look at what they traded back, I mean, Oladipo and Sabonis, I mean, Boston could have easily beat that, but you know, I think Indiana just didn't want George to go west. I'm surprised they didn't get any picks out of it, but at least Oladipo's a good player. It's a definite step back. But, you know, the East is so thin, they could probably still make the playoffs anyway, just because how bad the East is.
Well, Danny Ainge is just the typical BYU guy.
Oh, you know? I knew you were going to bring BYU into this,
I mean,
Devin.
The guy can't close the deal, if you know what I mean, because he doesn't want to give it up. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Wow. I don't know. Maybe he was GM of the year when he got the big three together and they won a title and was an injury away from a repeat. Wow.
Yeah. And then he fleeced Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That was good. But since then, it's like... The guy's just hoarding draft picks somewhere in his house.
I think guys are just scared to deal with Boston because you look at how great the trades were when he put the big three together. You look at how great the trade was with Brooklyn. The Phoenix trade wound up being the sneaky good trade where they got Isaiah Thomas and turned him into an all-star. I think GMs everywhere are just afraid to deal with Boston and just suddenly find themselves on the wrong side of it going, oh, someone fell for Boston again. I think Ainge's own rep has just made it really difficult for him to make trade.
Yeah, that's what it is, because they're like, well, rather than maybe get caught in a bad deal with Boston, we're definitely going to get caught in a bad deal with Minnesota and with OKC. You know, we know what we're getting over here.
Yep, because they're in the West.
All right, and the last big news trade or whatnot that we have to throw out there, well, we have two items left. Dwight Howard to the Hornets.
I thought that was a great trade for the Hornets.
Okay, so the Hornets now have, yeah, and that's true. Who's their front court now? It's Dwight Howard and who else?
Don't they have Zeller?
We've got Cody Zeller, Kaminsky.
That's right.
We've got Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. You know, they're a young team with some talent that just needed that one extra star. And I just think Kemba Walker and Dwight Howard together is going to be great.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then, you know, you're surrounded by Nick Batum and Marvin Williams and all these other guys. I think it was a good trade for them. I think Charlotte's going to be back in the playoffs next year. Atlanta, you know, I guess they're just tanking now.
Well, and so now all those behind, their last item in NBA, certainly not least, somebody in New York must have been listening to our pandering on Jedi and Germs for the last few weeks because something finally happened. Phil Jackson's gone. Right?
Finally.
Finally. Yeah.
And here's the hilarious thing about Jackson being gone now. He had a chance to get rid of him in April, but because he got rid of him now, Phil's going to get an extra $24 million.
Wow.
$24 million.
Can we
to not do anything, to not kill their franchise any worse than he already has.
I wonder if the tipping point on this was the Porzingis trade talks couple weeks back. I wonder if that was finally when the guy in New York just says, all right, I'm being eaten alive by media. Fans are hating this idea. I need to finally make a move. I should have done this a while back. I held on too long. It's going to screw me over in the end, but I can't. Porzingis was the last straw. That's it. We're done. Part ways.
Well, I mean, no one believed in the triangle, and yet he kept insisting on doing it. Kept insisting on trying to find guys who can play the triangle when the league has just passed him by. And he was acting like a coach, but a coach that shows up once every 2 weeks. And he's trying these mind games that used to motivate players in the 90s, but trying to do that with Porzingis and doing it because it was personal, because he was personally upset that Porzingis skipped his exit call. He was just poisoning the franchise. You know, and the thing is, Dolan is a terrible owner too. Let's not forget, because he fires Phil right after the draft.
Right.
So Phil picked his French guard who supposedly will work out well in the triangle. Well, now Phil's gone. Now they're not going to do the triangle. So you better hope that this French point guard works out.
I hope
Tillanika or something like that.
I hope that Dolan is patient now, though, because I actually think that once the cloud clears, I think this is actually good for Hornacek. I think Hornacek doesn't have Phil over his shoulders anymore, and I think Hornacek can have a little more freedom to do what he wants to do as a coach to make it work on the court.
It's better, but it's not great.
Yeah, you could have a new GM come in and just fire the entire coaching staff and start over.
Right. That's not lost on my thought process here, but I have to believe whatever GM comes in can recognize, you know, a fire when they come in and understand that it didn't start with Hornacek, nor that does it end. And I think Hornacek deserves a second chance with a situation with no pressure on his shoulders.
No, but John's hit the nail on the head here. I've got a buddy back in New York, and when the news finally came out that Jackson was out, I reached out to congratulate him. And he said, it's like a piece of candy. He said, it tastes good in the moment. He said, but long-term, it's not really doing anything for you. His concern is Dolan.
Right.
You know, and so until something happens there or a change is made, I think you're going to still have problems with the Knicks. Now, I'd like for them to be better. It's to the point that I feel bad for Carmelo Anthony, words I never thought I would say.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but I do. I feel bad for Melo. I feel bad for every player on the Knicks. I feel bad for Hornacek, and I feel bad for those fans. You know, that's one of the best franchises in the league, and they have just been turned upside down, and they are awful.
Yeah, and to think they were one of the most dominant Eastern teams throughout the 90s and the 80s. I mean,
The best thing that can happen for the Knicks is Dolan's band hits it big. And he gets distracted by that. That's the best thing that can happen for the Knicks right now.
Yeah, fair enough. So, any other NBA news, notes, trades? I'm trying to think of any last second signings. Oh, we didn't touch on Steph Curry, Supermax deal. And Andre Iguodala re-signs after a couple of weeks of looking elsewhere. He re-signs with the Warriors as well. My question is with this, and I just want to touch briefly on this, that what does this mean for the future for that team? That's got to, I got to think they're going to be strapped here coming soon. Maybe they can bring back Kevin Durant this year, but I wonder if past this next year, if they can really afford to keep Kevin Durant when they're paying Supermax to Curry, when they're paying for Andre Iguodala for another couple of years. When is this money going to come back to bite them?
They'll be fine this year. They'll happily pay a ton of tax. And next year might be the one where they go to make a move. I would say the summer of 2019. When Klay Thompson is a free agent.
Right.
I think they're going to look at everything and, you know, Clay's going to be a max guy and they're not going to be able to afford it. And at that point, they're going to hope that they've been developing someone who can take his place. Cause they're aging. I mean, they got Livingston back, they got West back, they got Iguodala back, Durant will be back. So everyone's going to be back pretty much, you know, if the pieces they're losing, you know, I assume Zsa won't be back. I don't know what they're going to do for center, whoever the center is, you know, the first 5 minutes of the first and third quarter, but
they'll play Kevin Durant at center. I'm just kidding. Or bring back
JaVale McGee. Yeah, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they can
with those pieces. And it really doesn't matter who the 11th guy on is, but yeah, I think they'll be a super team this next year, probably the year after that as well. And then at that point, they'll lose Clay and you'll just see where everything else falls.
Yep.
There is a rumor out there that someone may be signing with the Warriors.
Yeah. Swaggy P.
Swaggy P. Yep.
Can you see it? I have a hard time seeing it.
I do too. I'm not sure he could be a regular contributor with them. He could be one of those ride the pine just to get a ring kind of guy, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, when you put it that way, though, you can pay me $5 million to sit on the bench and get a ring.
Right?
You don't even have to pay me $1 million. You know, I'll take like the bare minimum.
I just don't think Swaggy fits that system, but I'm with you. I question that as well, but I laughed when I read it.
I would prefer to see him go somewhere like Brooklyn. You know, him and... who was it? I just blanked that they just got. From L.A., the reunion. Who would it be?
Oh, D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. I just, you know, let them go crazy out there.
There's your point guard for the Knicks that we couldn't think of, right? It was Russell.
No, he's with the Nets.
No, I knew Nets. Russell was
no,
in
the
Nets.
No, he was with the Nets. That's right. The Knicks.
The Knicks had Derrick Rose, and he's leaving.
That's right. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Any other NBA notes, or shall we move on?
We got another rumor. Kings were supposedly looking at a senior citizen. But did I see correctly? Vince Carter rumored to be meeting with the Kings?
I did see that, yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, we didn't even bring up the fact that Ben McLemore of the Kings is now no longer with the Kings, has signed with the
Memphis
Grizzlies.
And on a good deal. A very good deal.
Yeah,
I
it was
think.
A good deal. 2 years, yeah, 11 million.
That's worth the risk.
Yeah.
He still has potential to be something. And
I was maybe really high on him coming into the league. And it just hasn't happened. But you never know if that's just a product of Sacramento. I mean,
yeah.
they had someone else who ended up being pretty good.
Sacramento?
Yeah, didn't they draft Thomas? Didn't Thomas go from Sacramento to Phoenix?
Yeah, with
to Boston?
The 60th pick. Yep.
Yeah, you know, so.
Yeah, I
then
don't
you
know.
Have guys, they draft like Thomas Robinson, where you think they're awesome, and then they go to Sacramento, and they're not good.
Right.
And they go somewhere else, and they're still not good.
And the last thing I want to touch on in the NBA, I mean, we usually have listener questions. I don't think we have many tonight, but I did have one thrown at us. And while we're touching on free agency, let's quickly touch on this question. You know, we said Hayward stays, but we didn't even discuss what happens if Hayward doesn't. Where do the Jazz go next? I want your quick take on this, John. Any thoughts on where the Jazz can go next without
Hayward? Where they go if they don't get Hayward?
Yeah.
Gallinari.
Question
I think Gallinari, you know, I would have said Porter, but Washington has said they'll match any offer he gets. So
right.
Probably not him. I think they'd go for Gallo.
The question I have with that, and we were talking earlier on Twitter about this, is if Hayward leaves Jets, the Jazz really become cash strapped, don't they? So it's difficult to sign too many guys, sign another big name guy. Gallo's a good pick, but wouldn't they have to, I mean, what kind of money can they throw at Gallo is the question.
See, that's why I'd need a salary cap person who can explain right. that, because I mean, you know, they're at 77 now, but you got to add the 13 from Joe. So that's 90. You waive Boris. That is with him waived. Yeah, I think to offer him what they would need to offer him, they'd probably have. Well, if they waive Boris, I still think they could offer Gallo enough that they could get him, because Hayward goes somewhere else, they renounce their rights to him, and
right,
and you have your space, but.
But barely.
Whoever they get to replace Hayward, whether they re-sign Hayward or get someone to replace Hayward, they're going to go into the tax probably.
Right. And going into the tax, if they have Hayward because of bird rights, and Brett's going to be listening, he's going to either correct me or agree with me, but because of bird rights, the tax is alleviated a bit with Hayward, but without him, going into the tax kind of hurts. Just a tad.
Yeah, but they... You know, I don't think they could offer Gallo the max, but as markets are starting to dry up, I think they could probably get him for less.
Right.
Than the max.
All right. So there's your answer, listener, who shall not be named. But anyway, that was the one question we had tonight. Should we move on from the NBA?
No, we should not.
Oh,
I have to throw this out. Former Jazz man Kyle Korver signs a deal returning to the Cavs. I'm not sure if you guys saw that one. So
I think
we'll
that was expected, though. I think that was expected.
I think it was, too. You know, but he's a guy. He would have been valuable in many, many different situations. So, yeah. I think
Cavs have the biggest payroll. They are deep in tax by keeping him.
Alan wants to move on, so we can move on.
Okay. I didn't say that. Not yet. I didn't say that. I thought we were done. I was just wondering if we were done. It's okay. I'm trying to understand a tweet because I just saw a tweet come out. Somebody saying Connolly got a third year option. Okay, Connolly, you're
Mike
done.
Conley?
Did he get a third year option? Is that what it was?
Mike Conley.
It's not giving me a first name. It's giving me a last name is all I'm seeing.
That could be a baseball tweet.
Okay,
you know.
My bad. It might be baseball. I follow enough people that do both, so I get them confused. Okay, so moving on. We don't have listener questions. Devin, it is up with you and listener questions.
I want to talk about emojis.
Okay.
The emoji war that
yes,
we saw last
that's
night.
That's what I want to talk about. What is your take on the Rudy Gobert shots fired emoji that went out and the responses that came from Isaiah Thomas and Hassan Whiteside?
I love that Rudy did it, and whoever does it first wins because it was his clever idea. And
yep.
So if you're going to respond, you better have something more clever. And I appreciate the emoji responses, but Isaiah Thomas and Whiteside are tweeting about rings that they were not a part of. So, you know, Rudy's is about the present and future, and both of theirs were about the past.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I I don't disagree with that at all. I had a feeling that there was a, I mean, I had enough fans that I, that are friends of mine that were already tweeting out what Isaiah Thomas did tweet in response. So I knew it was coming from somewhere. I got a kick out of Whiteside's tweet actually, because his was more current than Isaiah's, but still in the past. As a last note, did either one of you see Trey Kirby's tweet response?
No.
Trey Kirby, he tweeted out a taco emoji with two trophies after it too, just so everybody knew that you could win a championship with Taco Trey Kirby. Just saying. I retweeted it last night because I thought it was hilarious. He decided to get in on the emoji war, and I thought it was great. Lost in all of that was a fun little emoji from Taco Trey Kirby. Okay, anyway.
Okay. One signing that I just realized, did you guys see Jose Calderon to the Cavs? I missed that one.
I did see that, yes.
So,
the Cavs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
$2.3 million. So, veteran minimum. That could be a very good signing for them. We'll see.
Although some people are disputing that, especially Cavs fans that think that it was just a mistake and that Dan Gilbert's not doing a good job anymore.
Well, I mean,
you got to keep
they
LeBron
wanted someone
happy.
Better than Darren Williams, and so they got someone who's
just a little
even
bit
worse
better.
On defense.
maybe a little bit better in some ways.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk money. There was the tweets that LeBron sent out about how much money Curry should be making. Didn't he say he should be making like $400 million over 5 years?
Yeah.
Do you agree with LeBron's take, or is that players getting greedy?
He was responding to, I can't remember if it was Ramon or someone else who tweeted out that this was the value of the Warriors when their owner bought it, and this is what it is now.
Right. And
it was like a $2 billion increase.
Yeah, it had gone, I think, from $450 million was the sale price up to like $2.2 billion.
Okay, lost in your question and discussion here is how much of this is LeBron playing more games like he does?
LeBron just plays basketball.
No.
That's all LeBron plays.
He likes to play these little Twitter games where he's narcissistic and on Twitter. Okay, for those who hear me and
Okay, you finish and then I'll retort.
I'm just going to say, for everybody who gives me crap about the love fest of LeBron, I am going to come right out and say his Twitter game, although it's strong and great, I laugh at because he'll boost up his opponents and then narcissistically respond later on Twitter with I don't know. He's always doing things in the off season with his opponents, with his competitors, and it always cracks me up when he does it. And some of it's just ridiculous. Is this another one of those type moves for him?
No.
Okay.
This is a player standing up for all players against the owners.
Okay.
Because every few years we have arguments between players and owners, and owners always try to paint themselves as poor cash strapped owners who are just trying to keep the ticket prices down for the fans. But the greedy players want more money.
Right.
And the players are the biggest part of the money generation. So yeah, they're getting paid tons of money, just millions and millions of dollars, and ticket prices keep going up. But every time an NBA franchise is sold, it's sold for several hundred million more than it was originally purchased for.
Right.
So I can see both sides on that. And I viewed it as a player standing up for all players saying, you know, we really should get a bigger percentage of the profits. What's going on? And it was probably also his way of saying that we shouldn't have any max salaries. I've seen a few people say that.
Okay. Fair enough. And this coming from a guy who in my LeBron makes more than his NBA salary in endorsements alone with Nike and others. Anyway, it's not like the guy is short on cash in the NBA himself. So,
LeBron is the face of the NBA. I don't care what you say.
Agreed.
About Steph or KD or anything like that, you know.
He is the face.
LeBron is the king.
Right. Agreed.
So I don't know, but when you look at the NBA in comparison to the NFL players get a smaller cut of the pie, and it seems like there's a bigger pie there with the NFL. So, you know, NBA players don't have it that bad considering they're not smashing their heads against one another. You know, and
Granted, theirs are guaranteed, and the NFL's are not as well. So yeah,
there's
something to be said there too.
But still, I don't know. It's a big mess, and you know, millionaires and billionaires crying about money is one thing that I just don't really care about.
Fair enough.
You're also talking about one sport has 8 home games a year, and the other one has 41.
Right.
Right. Very true. Okay. I just want to ask you guys a very simple question. You can go as deep with your answer as you would like, but no pressure. You ready?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you trust the process?
Yes.
Yes. Hinkie died for our sins.
I mean, Sixers making the playoffs this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I will say that. I will say Sixers are going to the playoffs this year. The East is so bad that anyone who just remotely tries is going to make the playoffs.
Did you coin that phrase, or was that somebody else's?
I probably saw it somewhere.
Hinkie died for our sins. I love it.
I mean, they're looking good. You know, they've got the Feds.
I love that nickname.
And now they've got JJ.
Yeah.
And they...
Good for him.
they added, was it Amir Jackson?
Amir Johnson. No.
Yeah, Amir Johnson.
Amir Johnson.
Sorry. He was with Boston last year, right?
No. Mm-hmm. Or yes.
Before yes. that, he was in Atlanta. Am I keeping his...
Well, he was
path?
In Toronto at one time, too.
Okay. But no, I'm looking at them, and they look like they're starting to put something together. And it's a perfect situation with Redick, because he comes in, he gets paid. I mean, he makes almost as much as he's made in L.A. with this one-year deal in Philly. And they get a shooter to go in the backcourt. They get an experienced vet with playoff experience, leadership. I think it's going to start going somewhere on the condition that they can stay healthy.
Yep, that's been their famous problem.
So, Alan,
man, if
wait.
They do, they're going to be really fun.
Yes.
Alan, I didn't hear you. Do you trust the process?
I said yes. John and I were unanimous yes at the same time.
John was a little bit more adamant about it.
No, I was too. Besides, I'm distracted by a video I just saw posted that I think I just saw John show up in.
Is that out?
Yes, it was just tweeted out moments ago, 9 minutes ago, by Utah Jazz six-man Stayward. A free agency pitch from the best fan base in the NBA, yeah.
Well, we will have to watch that, and you guys will have to watch that. What's the Twitter handle?
It's Utah Jazz six-man. I'm willing to even play it on the show if we have to. I mean, this thing is... Oh, there's David Aran! Downright Dave!
Well, no one can see it if we play it on the show.
I know, but they can hear it. I mean, it's awesome. Oh, there's...
If you follow the whole script, then it's going to probably be... Oh, it's only a minute 41?
Yeah.
No, we cut some lines out, I guess.
Yeah, it's brief. I recognize a lot of these folks. So I know some of you are listeners. John showed up twice. Look at that. Hey, Twitter fans, we love you. All of you. And this is awesome that all of you pitched in. So many of you pitched in for this video. You have to check it out. Utah Jazz Six-Man.
Yeah. Oh, there I am.
Yeah.
we'll all
retweet
it. I'll
have to watch this with the volume on after we're done.
I just retweeted it now, so yeah.
Okay. Couple more quick hits.
Doing my part.
I told you guys that I was watching the fight last night. I called it a boxing match, and a total stranger came at me and said, it's not a match, it's a fight. And I think it's a match. I do believe that is what they are called as well, about, you know. Regardless, did either of you watch the event that included Horn and Pacquiao?
No.
I did not watch.
Okay. I think it is a great fight. It was very entertaining, and it did have a controversial ending. So if you get a chance, I'm sure you can find like the highlights online. Alan is not going to care about this next question, so I'm not asking Alan.
You're not
allowed to say anything. You don't count. It does not matter to you. Just watch the video.
I'm done watching the video, but go ahead.
Watch it again.
Go ahead.
John, ESPN looks like they're bringing on some free boxing events. There was this one, and then there will be, I believe, two more title fights in the month of August. What are your thoughts on that? Is this good for the sport? Is this good for ESPN? Or is this just something that's going to kind of come and go and much ado about nothing?
I would say come and go. You know, how do I put this? Boxing is one of those sports where it is very personality dependent. And you have to have the personality and the name for people to carry any interest. And if you have a lesser name, take the titles, nobody cares about it until someone else comes along. So boxing, it can be dead for years. And then suddenly there'll be interest just because a certain name has shown up.
What about with the news of another fight that's supposed to be coming up here shortly? We've talked about it a little bit. I don't know, maybe once or twice on this show. Floyd McGregor. Does that spark some interest in the sport?
Yes. Yes, it would. Although, did you see the video of their workouts side by side?
That has to be Photoshop. that there has to be something happening there, because it is like third of the speed for Connor.
And yeah. I saw that and went, oh man, maybe it's going to be quick.
See, I'm hoping he takes the approach that Horn seemed to take last night against Pacquiao, because Pacquiao is just a faster, better fighter. But Horn was willing to just go right in there and go for it. And that's the only way I think McGregor has any shot, is to just go absolutely nuts to have a shot against Floyd. Otherwise, he's just going to get destroyed, I think. But we'll see. I don't know. I kind of grew up enjoying boxing. It was one of those kind of pastimes when I was with my grandfather. He would always be watching it. And so while I don't follow the sport, I've always enjoyed watching it. So when I see decent live events happening on ESPN, it actually gets me a little bit excited to see that and hope that it does something for the sport to put it back in the public eye. Because honestly, I feel ESPN's programming kind of sucks anymore. I'm mm-hmm. not a fan of what they're doing. I'm not a fan of the people they're letting go. You know, they still got a couple shows around the horn, PTI, things like that I enjoy, but I could care less about watching SportsCenter anymore.
Yeah, my son still enjoys SportsCenter. I'll occasionally watch Around the Horn or PTI if it happens to be on, I guess. But there were a lot of ESPN guys that I was really bummed to see go. I'm sad to lose Ethan Strauss and Chad Ford and Mark Stein and some of these guys that really felt like they were doing the work. And you know, in today's climate, it just seems like you have to be that loud, boisterous personality who cares if you're wrong most of the time.
They have the worst personalities. Alan, you can come back into the conversation now.
Sorry, we were talking boxing and I felt like biting my ear off.
Ha! 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 Try it. Let's see it.
All right, maybe not biting my ear off, biting somebody's ear off. Boxing just makes me want to do that for some reason. I don't know.
What do you think of... what do you think of ESPN lately?
I don't go to it very often. I'm intrigued still by 30 for 30 and things like that. I mean, the 30 for 30 stuff will always be important and worthwhile to watch, I think. I don't watch much SportsCenter. I don't watch... the only reason why I flip to ESPN these days is if the Jazz are playing on them or college football season comes around, I'll be flipping over to ESPN weekly because the Cougars are going to be playing on it. So other than that, I don't. I you know, and you're right. All these names that are gone, I feel really there's a bit of emptiness in the NBA world now with all these guys gone. Even the NFL. You've got guys in the NFL that were mainstays for decades that are gone now too. What ESPN did is a sham. It's a mistake. It's unfortunate.
Well, it's not just them. Sports TV sucks.
Yeah.
You've got Stephen A. Smith. You've got Skip Bayless. You've got, you know, Scottie Pippen doing analysis for ESPN I saw the other day. Come on.
Well, hey, let's be fair. I don't even know sports TV is the way to go anymore, and I think that's what ESPN is trying to understand maybe and trying. They're not evolving very well because you look at even the other night, and much ado has been made about this on social media, but Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, what was he doing when he was on TV the other night?
He wasn't tweeting.
He was on his phone, was he not? He was doing something on his phone. It's the mobile world. It's the virtual world now. Sports TV is just not the way anymore. He was on there to interview or to do things, but it's becoming less and less popular anymore. And with people cutting cords, again, Disney is trying to find a way to evolve. ESPN's not doing a very good job of it, and other locations, other folks are. And ESPN's trying to scramble and find ways to keep up with it. They're not doing it.
What, one more quick hit. I don't know if we talked about this last week or last time we were on. Maybe we did. Did you like the award show for the NBA season awards? Did you watch it? Did you enjoy that?
I watched parts of it. I liked the Sager Strong for Monty Williams.
Yes.
I thought that was great.
That was the one part I really enjoyed.
I didn't really watch enough of the rest of it to really have an opinion. I am still of the opinion of I like the awards being handed out once a week during the playoffs. Gives you something to talk about. The awards felt so after the fact that I just didn't really have interest in watching it. Now I've heard the spectrum as far as some people hated the show, some people thought the show was really good. It sounded like the ratings were good enough that they want to make this a yearly tradition, that it's going to be this way from now on, which I disagree with, what I'd really like them to do is move it up, but they can't. They got to have their guys practice for the playoffs, and that's too bad. So I guess we're just going to do it this way now. We're just going to have these awards come 2.5 months after the regular season's over.
They should just do it like with the ring ceremony. You know, I mean, let's just wait and we'll figure this all out like in August or something. Alan, did you like it? Did you watch it?
Some of it. I didn't find it all that interesting. I was watching it mostly for the Rudy Gobert love that hopefully he would get, and he didn't. So I do agree with the selection of MVP. I know that's been a topic of conversation and debate all season long, even here on the show, but I think we all agreed that the guy who got it deserved it and was the guy that we picked all along. But the Sager Strong Award, I loved it. And I look forward to that being a mainstay for years to come. We love the Sagers. So.
All right. I've said enough. I've said enough on quick hits. Jump to pop culture.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. The movie I saw this week was Baby Driver. Either of you see it?
No. Heard a lot of good things about it.
It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's from director Edgar Wright, and I have enjoyed every movie he's made so far. He made Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End, all starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. He also did Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which I really enjoyed. And now he's done this movie, and he's got a different cast together. They all have fun with their parts. And the main thing about the movie is Baby's always listening on his headphones, and so there's songs playing throughout the entire movie. And everything that happens in the movie happens with the beats of the songs he's listening to. Even when they get in a gunfight and the guns are firing with all the beats into the song, it's just funny, and it works. The whole thing just works. It sails through. You have guys like Jamie Foxx and John Hamm who've been given these fun roles that, sometimes it feels like the movies just don't know what to do with those guys, but I thought they were great here. It's kind of Tarantino-esque in a way with the supporting characters that come in. You know, it's not near as violent or long as a Tarantino movie would be, but I had a blast watching it. I would highly recommend it. It's just a fun movie.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard much about that, and that's a movie that was on my radar from the get-go this year. So looks very good. Before we transition to some of the other topics, I went and saw a movie this weekend, and I don't know if it's even worth much of a review. Took my son. He's been waiting to see Transformers The Last Night. So I took him, and we went. As a family, we went. Reviews back. My son loved it. My son's 11, loved it. Can't stop talking about it, just enjoyed it. But he's a Transformers fan. He's liked them all. I was entertained. However, there were times in the movie where I just kind of, felt like it was over the top, and that's Michael Bay for you. He's always over the top. I'll tell you this. I enjoyed it better than I did Age of Extinction. I felt like this one was better.
That's not saying much.
No, it's not. No, it's not at all. But I did enjoy this one for the most part. But like I said, there were just moments where I just sat back and go, Michael Bay, please quit. And please quit. And by the way, in the ending, it gives a possibility of him going on with another one. Surprise, surprise. So.
But Michael Bay said he's not going to direct anymore, so at least there's that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, anyway, Transformers, most of you, I'd just say wait till it comes out on DVD and or on digital and watch it. Spend the $2, $3, whatever, and watch it, because you won't be wasting too much of your money. So,
I think this is going to be the one where I finally just stop watching him. I've seen the first four. I hated the second one. I hated the fourth one. Michael Bay, there's obvious talent there, but his action scenes just go on forever. And sometimes that's cool. Like in the third one where they have that giant worm machine going through the buildings, and you have people in the buildings and the buildings falls from one side to the other. That whole sequence I really enjoyed, but that's what I get out of Transformers movies is right. I know the movie overall is going to be bad, but I'm just hoping for those sequences that are really cool.
Can I, without giving away, can I say something here? This will give one part away, but I just have to. How many times are you going to bring back Megatron?
I know. He dies at the end of every movie.
Many
and he comes back.
Times. That's my question. And how are you going to explain that you brought him back again? That said, one positive note, I like this version of Megatron than I did the other versions. I did. I liked this version better. So,
okay.
I mean, he's definitely different. I mean, you look at him, he's worlds different, and I like him better. So, anyway, sorry, that's my moment there. Yeah.
I wouldn't really remember.
So.
I'm cool with, I mean, I know they're doing another one. This one isn't performing as well as previous ones, at least domestically. This one looks like it might actually be the lowest domestically.
But China's sure making money.
It's sailing along enough worldwide that it'll be profitable. And
right.
They can make another one. They've already announced that they're making a Bumblebee movie, and it's going to star Haley Steinfeld from The Edge of 17 and True Grit.
I could get on a Bumblebee movie. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that.
Well, it's going to be directed by somebody else, so I guess I can keep an open mind for that.
So,
and the thing is, I think Michael Bay can be a good director. I really enjoyed. I thought that was a solid movie.
What? Sorry, you cut out there. You really enjoyed what?
13 Hours.
Okay.
The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. It's a really good, solid, straightforward movie, and I'd like to see Michael Bay do more stuff like that. I hope he does.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on. You had a couple other things to talk about. Glow. Yeah. See, I pronounced that wrong. Man, I'm doing well here.
Habla inglés?
No, I don't.
I've been single dad for the past 3.5 weeks, so I have time to binge more. You know, I finished Mystery Science Theater 3000. I can't wait for season two of that. I sped through House of Cards. I got through that in like a week. Good season. I thought this year's House of Cards was really good. But I was I just loved Glow. I thought it was terrific. I hope it gets Emmy nominations next time it's up. Just a really solid comedy. It's Glow was Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It was a show that was on for 4 years in the late 80s. I remember knowing about it. I don't honestly remember actually watching it. But it was a hit at the time, and all the characters are fictitious, different names, but it's pretty faithful to the stereotypes of what was in Glow. And it stars Alison Brie. She was in Community. She was in Mad Men, and she is the lead here. And she's this actress who just really wants to get ahead and just can't seem to find her break. And so she tries out for this show, and she is so determined that they let her on. And you just watch the development of this brand and the development of the show, and it's really good. And I would compare it to Orange is the New Black, but favorably. I gave up on Orange is the New Black in season 3. I just kind of got tired of it. This one, I think it has that same kind of enjoyable female ensemble, but they're half hour episodes instead of an hour. And I just flew through it. And it's one of my favorite new shows on Netflix.
Okay. Sweet. Any other thoughts as we wrap this episode up? That was a quick version of pop culture, but man, we had a lot of NBA to cover.
I feel like we've been talking for a long time.
Yeah, we have.
And you know what? I realized that we really did not talk Summer League.
No, we didn't.
I mean, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, Jazz, they'll have Mitchell. They'll have all their rookies. They'll also have Exum out there and sophomore Ball and Boy going up against Sixers, who will not be playing Simmons or Embiid, but Fultz will be playing. You'll have Boston, and you will have San Antonio.
Well, and if you're listening to this, look us up. I don't know, John, whether you're planning on being at Summer League, but I know Devin and I will be. Devin's planning to be there all 3 days. I will probably be there Wednesday. I will be there Wednesday night. So hit us up, guys. Any of us will be at Summer League. John, you planning to try and come maybe? No?
If the opportunity arises, okay. My wife gets back in the middle of the night between Tuesday and Wednesday. So, I don't know. It'll probably be tight for me to be able to make it, but I would like to at least get to one game.
Okay.
Well, it's on TV, isn't it? All of them on.
Yes.
Is it on? Oh, yes, they are. They are all on TV. So I will at least do that. I'll at least be able to do that.
Was it KJazz or where were they being broadcast? I don't remember.
I thought they said KJazz.
It could be.
I don't have remember. NBA TV, but we'll at least be able to catch them all on.
Yeah.
KJazz or maybe they meant Root, but one of those two channels.
All right.
So yeah,
sounds good. We'll have to talk about the Summer League next episode.
Yeah,
which will be in about 10 days. So we'll talk Summer League and where we're at. Final note as we exit out.
I want to issue kind of a Summer League challenge.
Yes,
I would like listeners to tweet to the intern, to the Jedi and Germs account. What are your predictions or expectations for Summer League?
All right.
Just get a little bit of discussion going. We'll retweet them out.
Okay.
And see what we have coming up this week, and then we'll be able to talk next week and see if who was right and who was wrong.
Sounds good. One last thing of note, and you two already know this. I shared it with you while we were discussing pop culture. Woj bomb pops out, and maybe Gallinari might not be on the table for the Jazz. Sounds like the Clippers have shown interest, and Gallinari might have a mutual interest there. So he might be a Clipper come the start of the season. We'll find out in the next few days.
On the next episode. On the next episode. Jedi Germs.
So with that, let's go ahead and wrap this baby up. It's been a packed show this week. Thank you all for joining us and being along for the ride every week. Hope you all have a safe 4th. You know where to find us. So download and share with your friends and family who have not partaken yet. We'd love to have them along for the ride as well. Thank you all. We'll talk to you soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.